Welcome back to the In the Dugout podcast. My name is Jason Ward. Once again, alongside Will McNamara and Joey Nagel. How we doing deep into spring training now?
First time ever. I think I might be positive to start off a podcast.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about this team.
Unless we start with the Giolito news.
Well, let's not do that.
So,
nah.
Let's start with the Brian Bello extension. The Red Sox actually locked up one of their young pitching stars, pretty much the ace of this team, Brian Bello. 6 years, $55 million. I think that is a very team-friendly deal. He also has a seventh-year club option worth $21 million. But they get Bello into his 30s, and that's what we were asking for. We said two things: extend Bello, extend Casas. They did one of those. We're halfway there, halfway to where we want to be in terms of the future. As you mentioned, we have the Giolito news about this season, but let's talk about the Bello extension. Are you guys surprised that the Red Sox actually got this done? Because I am. I didn't think that they were actually capable of, I mean, they surprised me last year with the Devers extension too. But there were no talks really this spring training of anything getting too far until they were, because Casas said the thing about nothing intriguing or nothing interesting, whatever he said. Bello said that they were in talks, but it wasn't really that serious. All of a sudden, it started to gain some traction. There were reports that they were in serious talks. Bada boom, 6 years, $55 million, he's locked up. So were you guys surprised by that extension actually happening in spring training here?
Honestly, I think I'm not as surprised that the extension happened. I'm shocked that it happened, because all offseason long, all we've been hearing is, yeah, the Red Sox aren't really making any moves. They're not making competitive offers. They're not doing anything to try to make some of these big names join us. And we have one here that's going to be homegrown that we want to keep and that we wanted to extend. And we've been saying all offseason extend it. But from the way that the ownership had been showing us, we really didn't expect it. So just seeing that they're finally putting some sort of stock into this team was really nice to see. Plus, in a way that we can get them for, honestly, decent money for someone who's going to be the ace of our team.
Yeah, I'm actually very happy about it. I'm surprised because the deal is fairly structured, in my opinion. They buy out a year of free agency plus a team option for another. That's just perfect from the Red Sox standpoint. And it's surprising. It's smart. It's smart, and that's what surprises me. They did something intelligent this offseason. They did something that they were supposed to do, that the fans asked for, and it's refreshing to see. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change the narrative that John Henry isn't spending money, because it is a very team-friendly deal. But from Bale's perspective, it's perfect. You know, it gives him life-changing money. It gives him another chance to get an extension further down the road. And then it also just brings a sense of security to the ball club as a whole. Like, this guy, for the first time in like 10 years, we have a homegrown pitcher who we know is going to be here, a homegrown player who we know is going to be here. We didn't play the game this time around like we did with Devers, waiting until that last year, which ended up costing the Sox hundreds of millions of dollars. It's really nice to see that they finally were proactive on something. And my whole mindset with this extension, I was so happy to see it. But my first thought was immediately, let's get the Casas one done too while we're at it.
Yeah, 100%. I think, not to rank them, but I think the Casas one's a little more important, because I think as a player, Tristan Casas is going to tear up the league. There's no doubt about that after what he did last season and how he's looking towards this season. But the Bello extension itself is very important. The way that I look at this, what I've been saying all along is the Red Sox have been in between competing and looking to the future. They say they want to look to the future. I've just been wanting them to pick a lane. Like, if you're looking to the future, do things that promote that, like extending Casas and Bello. So the fact that they did something that helps them in the future, continues to lock up the young core of the future. It started, like I said, with the Devers extension. That was for the future. Bello, for the future. And now it backs up what they've been telling us this offseason about the young core that they're waiting for, of Marcelo, Meyer, Teal, and Roman Anthony. These are guys that I don't want to say support those guys because these are the main guys, Devers and Bayo, and then hopefully Casas. But they're really locking in what that young core is going to look like for the next 10 years, the next decade. So these are great moves in the right direction. Like you said, Joey, keep it going, get Casas extended, and then we're really cooking.
Yeah, and the one thing that I kind of noticed when you were mentioning it is we do have a ton of young talent coming up. It's just there are a few gridlock spots where we have too many guys at these positions coming up. But that 10 year timetable, like, I know it's a long time, but this is going to be a good team. We have great players coming up, and I really just think that the main mistake was ownership starting it off too early, saying, hey, we're going to go full throttle now. I think they could tell us that in 2 or 3 years and then really step behind it and start making some moves. I think they just went way too early. We have a shot to be a great baseball team in 3 to 5 years. It's just about putting the right pieces together.
100%. I think not to speak for all Red Sox fans, but I think it's fair to say that what we were most upset about wasn't necessarily the lack of moves. It was the empty promises. Like, you come into this offseason, Breslow's like, there's no spending limit, no limitations on money. Turns out there is, and they're pretty hefty. And then you got the full throttle comments. We know how this whole offseason went. All those empty promises, the facade that the Red Sox were going to compete, be back to being the big market Red Sox in 2024, that narrative is what I think most fans are upset about. Because like you said, Will, the future looks great. This young core that they keep talking about, add in some of the other pieces like Duran, Rafaela, Hauk even. It looks really good. So if they just start off this offseason like, yeah, we're really still building towards this future young core, we want to lock up the young guys, get other guys that promote the future, that's great because that's kind of what they've done. But the fact that they were kind of selling to us that, oh, yeah, we're going all in when they weren't, that's what we're upset about. The fact that they were like, yeah, we're going to get Yamamoto, the biggest name in the free agency other than Ohtani. And the fact that they even tried to tell us a couple weeks ago, yeah, the Red Sox are right up there around the $300 million mark trying to get him. Like, whatever that whole narrative that they kept trying to push in the beginning, that's what threw us all off. But if you ignore that, if you just erase that from your memory, look at right now, they locked up Bayo, they have Devers locked up, they have this young core. That's why I'm optimistic. Watching these spring training games, watching guys like Rafaela is going crazy right now. Kyle Teal, it's just cool to see his face out there after getting drafted so recently. Roman Anthony's playing, Marcelo Meyer's playing now. Watching these young guys play, that's what gives me optimism. Looking at Rafael Devers being locked up, looking at Brian Bayo being locked up, that's what gives me optimism. Not necessarily about this year. I do have optimism about this year. We'll get to that. But what I'm most excited about is the future, and this Brian Bayo move is a move for the future.
I got a question for both of you regarding Tristan Casas. What would, if you had to extend him right now, what kind of deal would you be willing to offer him? Because I'm personally would be very aggressive. I would offer him something. I would probably offer him like a 10-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's 24 years old. I'd give him definitely something in the 8 to 10 year range. Money wise, I think he's just going to keep getting better. I mean, he was a rookie of the year candidate last year. I think he deserves, I mean, with his young age right now, I would say probably about 20 to 25 a year. Maybe a little lower than that. But I mean, my ideal contract for him would probably be around 8 years, 190, 200.
So I think the team that everyone looks at for the extending young guys, like that's what they do, is the Braves. And so I just looked up the Austin Riley contract extension because I think that's a good thing to base it off of. And his extension was 10 years, $212 million. I do that for Casas, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I agree, Joey. Like, I think you should be aggressive. There's no reason not to. Like, I don't know what you could look at in Casas' game and be worried about. Like, maybe the fielding, but he's improving in that area. The plate discipline, plate vision is outstanding. You saw that in the minors. And in the second half last year, he showed that he could do that in the major league level. Obviously, the power is off the charts. And just the bat-to-ball skills and plate presence is, it's elite. That's what it is. It's only going to continue to get even more elite. So I have no hesitation in signing him long-term to whatever it costs, whatever he wants, just
He's also
give it to him.
very solid. He's very solid on the defensive half of the ball too. Like, it's not like he's just an offensive weapon. We need him at first base too, because we really, what's our other option? Bob. And I love Bob, but he doesn't have the offensive power that Casas does.
Yeah.
I
Also,
actually think that they can get a very fair deal for Casas, because I'm looking at the Matt Olson extension, 8 for 168. That's an average of 21 per year. I think you could get Casas at 10, 180. I really do, because if you give him more years, you can bring that AAV down. And like, if you can get a player like Tristan Casas, who's gonna post for the next 10 years, you know that. For $18 million a year, you shore up first base and you shore up the heart of the order. There's no excuse, in my opinion. So I want the Sox to be as aggressive as they possibly can on this front. And it sounds like a lot of money. It sounds like a big commitment now, but we know from the Devers situation that if you're going to cost yourself potentially hundreds of millions of dollars if you wait.
his value is just going to keep going up.
I didn't realize that the Matt Olson extension was that cheap, but I think those are the two guys to look at.
And like,
Riley
the
and Olson.
deals are at their fair value for a power hitting first baseman, only 20 million a year, when Will says, and I agree, he's a $25 million player, and he will be for over the next decade. But you can get him for that cheap, you got to act on it.
I'm trying to find the quote. I'm struggling to find it, but I remember when we were talking about when the Casas extension was in the news on Red Sox Twitter, Casas had a quote, something like he doesn't need that much, just enough to support himself and his family for a while. I don't think Casas is someone chasing the money bags. Like, I think he just wants a fair deal for his value. So I think it's totally reasonable to get him for a deal, like you said, Joey, that's under 200 million. A little leaning towards team friendly because he doesn't need a superstar mega deal. He's just looking for fair value. And there's no reason why the Red Sox can't get it done. They need to get it done. I think that the numbers that we're talking about is definitely a realistic range. It's just a matter of actually offering that, which seems to be the problem. I'm curious, did they say what the offer was to him that he said that he rejected pretty easily? Because I'd love to see what those numbers look like. Because it was probably like when they offered Xander like 4 years, 90 million or whatever that was, it was probably something stupid like that.
I don't think they publicized it, but it was probably around there.
Yeah, it was something dumb. It's just you waste time by doing that. You waste time. I think when you look at the Bayo extension, 6 years, 55 million, they definitely cheaped out on that. Like, I think it's great that he accepted it and like that happened, but I think that's a cheap
Like,
deal.
I think
So
that's a
that's.
good sign too, though. I think even if Bayo doesn't think it's a cheap deal, his agent definitely thinks it's a cheap deal, knows it's a cheap deal, and it means that Bayo is willing to take a little bit of less money to stay in Boston. I mean, he's got Pedro here, who's been his biggest mentor all the way through. He wants to stay here. He wants to play here. This was the easiest extension we could have made, and it should have happened a long time ago.
It's true. I'm glad that we got one done because I hate talking about these extensions because I get so much PTSD from all the time we were waiting for a Xander extension just to lose him in free agency, all the time we waited for a Devers extension. Thank God that actually happened, but something about the Red Sox and extending their homegrown players, it just terrifies me because they do not have a good track record with it. Let's turn that
They
around.
just
Let's
don't
start
do
getting a
it.
good track record. Now's the time. You're 2 for 2 right now, Devers and Bayo. Make it 3 for 3. Keep it going.
Oh, I just found something about Casas. So Tim Britton from The Athletic predicted that Casas would get a 7-year, $77 million extension if he signed now.
That's so
So
cheap.
that's so
Oh my,
cheap.
take that immediately.
If we can do that, absolutely. Like
So what that tells me is that the Red Sox offer was probably around like $50 million over that same time, if I had to guess.
it's just
That's so
embarrassing
affordable. Just
because
do
that's
it.
just a
Just do it.
very, very undervalued, very
Yeah.
good player.
And you know
Make
what's
us.
gonna happen is the longer you wait, the higher that price tag is gonna go up. And if he's going to have the monster season that I think he will, and a lot of people are projecting him to, that price is just going to go up, up, up. Right now is the time where you can get him for a very fair value. If you wait until even till mid-season, it's going to go up. But if you wait till the end of this season, it's going to skyrocket, and the next, like,
It could double.
it's going to double, it could triple, it's only going to go up.
By the end of the season, that 7 years, 77 could be 7 years, 140.
Yeah, it's just gonna go up. I don't even know why there's hesitation. Like, it's just you know that this is a guy you want. Sign him, lock him up. Moving on from the extension talk, though, I'm gonna push the Giolito stuff because I want to stay positive for right now. We're looking pretty good in spring training, at least on the offensive side. But some of the guys that I want to highlight: Rafael Devers, bubble wrap him, send him to Boston. He's ready to go. He's hitting the ball the other way. He's got his hands down a little bit. He is just mashing. Jarren Duran is showing that last year may not have been a fluke. He's looking really good, still wreaking havoc on the bases. He had a triple the other day. Trevor Story, that's probably the name I'm most excited about, because when we signed Trevor Story, we were looking as him to be the guy, the X factor in our lineup. Obviously, with injuries, that didn't really work out. And then when Xander left, Trevor Story then became Bogaerts' replacement. So there's been a lot of pressure on Trevor Story that he hasn't really been able to come through for to this point, but he's finally healthy. He's got a thicker beard, and bearded Story is a threat out there on the field. He's looking great at the plate. He's looking absolutely outstanding defensively. We knew that his defense is top tier, and he's showing that his arm is fine at shortstop. His range is great at shortstop. And the bat's been the biggest question mark, but he's been looking great. He's got power. He's hitting for contact. He has, let's see, two homers already this spring, eight RBIs, 324 average, an OPS right at 1,000. Spring training means nothing, obviously, but it is great to see him hitting, great to see him looking ready for the season. Tanner Houck has also been outstanding, pretty much locking up a rotation spot at this point with Winkowski going to the bullpen. And Sadan Rafaela, I think, has earned himself a starting job out in center field for the Major League Club because he has just been going bananas. He's got three homers himself, 277 average, 907 OPS. You know what he can do in the field with his wizard defense. I think that's your starting center fielder opening day. What do you guys
I
think?
think he's either a starter or he's going to be a platoon guy with Duran.
Either way on the team, though, for sure, I think.
True. Oh, absolutely. Starting roster, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Cora said that it's his job to earn the spring training, and if he plays well, like he has been, Cora said that the starting job is his, and he's playing well. So I don't
Yeah,
see
he's
why
earning it right
he,
now.
yeah. Definition of earning it. I don't see why he wouldn't make the opening day roster. I think that your best outfield has him in it because if you put him in the big center field in Fenway, you got yourself a Jackie Bradley Jr. type player out there who's going to make outstanding plays, win you games on the defensive side. And he's shown the spring training, just like he showed last year, that he can hit too. He's an explosive bat. He's got speed. He can steal bases. I'd love to have him out there on the field. So if you look at the outfield, I'm like very excited and very happy with the outfield that we're looking at. You got Duran in left, Rafaela in center, and Abreu and O'Neill platooning in right. That is a very good outfield. It's a young outfield, but I think that outfield is going to mash. That outfield is going to play some great defense, and that outfield's got speed. I really like how that outfield kind of came together.
Abreu's bat has to pick it up a little bit, but obviously there's a ton of time. I think that is a great outfield.
Yeah. I mean, the speed is off the charts. Like
Oh,
Duran and
absolutely.
O'Neill and Rafaela are probably the fastest guys on the team. So you
You
can't
also
go
have
wrong
Yoshida
that.
out there when you need him.
Yeah, Yoshida with his pants hiked up way out there. People really kind of trash on his defense. Yeah, it's not ideal, but it's not bad. Like he can hold his own out there. He's no Hanley Ramirez in left.
He plays the wall better than some past Sox left fielders.
Oh, 100%. Plus, last year is his first year, so he's got more
That's
time
exactly.
to adjust and figure things out. That's another guy I'm really excited about, is Yoshida, mainly on the offensive side. Now that he's adjusted to Major League Baseball in the States, I think that he's only looking up. Like, I think he's just gonna build on the. He had a great year last year as a rookie. I think he's only gonna build on that. I think he's only gonna get better and put him right in the middle of that lineup, behind whoever it is, Casas, Devers, You still kind of are missing a right-handed bat. Hopefully Story can be that, but still, like, that is a the offense is going to mash. Like, I don't think that the offense is a point of concern by any means. I think up and down the lineup, you have a lot of guys who can really not just have power, but put bat to ball contact and speed. Like, it's I think a really well-rounded lineup. The only thing you're missing, like I said, is the right-handed bat. You have a lot of lefties, but in the modern game, that doesn't really matter as much. I think Connor Wong is an intriguing right-handed bat too. Obviously, his main job is catching and being a great defensive catcher, but he's shown this spring that he can hit too. He hit last year. He's batting .433 this spring with two homers. So that's an exciting X factor towards the end of the lineup. The only thing you're really concerned about, the bullpen's great too. The thing you're concerned about is the rotation. So Bayo was named the opening day starter today. So you got that locked up. I think Pivetta is definitely in there. Hauk has earned himself a spot in there. Cutter Crawford's in there. So it's kind of the fifth spot. Do you go with Whitlock? Do you go with Cooper Criswell? Because Winkowski was named to be a long reliever in the bullpen. I don't know who I want in that fifth spot. I think that Whitlock is best in the bullpen, but he may be the favorite for that fifth spot right now in the rotation. Cooper Criswell doesn't do it for me. I maybe he can be like a good gap starter, but I don't think he's the guy for the role. Do you sign a free agent? Mike Clevinger, Michael Lorenzen, Trevor Bauer. I'd love Trevor Bauer, but at this point, I don't think that's going to happen. What do you guys think about the fifth spot? What are we doing here?
Sorry, I was just laughing at that last question. Do we sign a free agent?
That's a good point.
No, we don't. I would definitely prefer Whitlock in the bullpen. He showed himself way better as a reliever last year. I think just keeping him on a shorter leash, giving him lower innings, lets him really let his arm eat, and it gets him better results. But the thing that you're saying, I don't trust Criswell as the fifth starter either. And then you look into the bullpen, and who do you really have? I mean, we can't have Winkowski coming back out to start games. I guess we can go back to that whole Bernardino opener and see if Pivetta
No
wants to come
thanks.
in. I don't
No
really like
thanks.
that. I want a set rotation. We need a fifth starter, and the favorite is definitely Whitlock, like you said. And I don't like that. I think that would be bad.
The biggest concern in this day and age is that you're not going to get by with five starters anymore. You need six, seven, even eight to make it through a full season. And it just goes back to the mismanagement of this offseason mixed with bad luck. You know, going into this offseason, we asked for two, maybe three starting pitchers, and we signed one and traded away one. And the one that we signed is now out for the season. So we're at negative one
Negative
after,
one.
yeah, we're at negative one starters acquired this offseason after asking for three. So that creates a big problem. This Cooper, like Cooper Criswell, he doesn't do it for me either because he seems like one of these like fake starters that are so popular in baseball these days where they go four innings. To me, you're not a starting pitcher if you go four innings. A starting pitcher has to go at least five, make it into the sixth. Maybe that's old school thinking on my part,
No.
but the biggest thing is that we need innings. And Bayo's going to do it. Pivetta's going to do it. Hauk, we still don't know because we need to see if he can actually get through the order three times. And Cutter Crawford is one of those guys who's kind of a five and dive starter. So where are these innings going to come from? I saw that Cora said he's asking for 25 innings per turn of the rotation, which sounds doable, but with this group of guys, I don't really see it. I don't know if they can do that because outside of Bayo and Pivetta, who's going to go out there and throw 100 pitches, 110 pitches? I know that that's kind of old school thinking in this day and age, but you need to be able to work past the fifth inning into the sixth, get outs, make quality starts. And if you don't hit that 25 inning threshold that Cora was talking about, that creates such a problem for your bullpen. You're going to run guys into the ground. You can't do that early in the season. And now all of a sudden the bullpen is lacking depth because you move two of your best bullpen arms into the rotation.
Yeah, the more that I think about it, the more concerned I am about this rotation, honestly. As you're going through that, I was just thinking about it, and you're right. Bayo Pivetta, those are workhorses. They can go 7, 8 innings if they're pitching well. And Hauk, this is a guy who has problems with the third time around the lineup, who's coming from the bullpen. Garrett Whitlock, coming from the bullpen. Cooper Criswell, coming from the bullpen. Cutter Crawford, I'm excited about and optimistic about, but he's a back end of the rotation guy. You look at depth, and there is none.
No.
Chris Murphy, who is supposed to be some of our starting depth, he got hurt. He has a tear, I think, in his arm and may need surgery. So you're losing depth there. Who is there that can step up and start? Like, another thing about this rotation, these are injury prone guys. Whitlock and Hauk are injury prone.
Yeah.
Pivetta, I love Nick Pivetta. I think he's going to have a great season, but last year you put him in the rotation, he was awful. It took him going to the bullpen and learning a new pitch until he got better. So you don't know what's going to happen with that. Cutter Crawford could be a fluke. Who knows what's going to happen with him? So this rotation, really, it's two guys that I trust solid. Bayo, number one, I trust. And then a combination of Pivetta, Hauk, and Crawford, I trust as one. That counts as one trust for me. So I got two trusts in this rotation.
They're getting one trust.
Combined, they all get like 33%. You put them together, one trust. We're really scraping the
No, I
bottom
know.
of the
I just
barrel
don't
here.
know. I don't know if I would give all of them 33%.
Yeah. I'm a lot higher on Cutter Crawford than you guys are. My only concern with him is that for him to be the most effective, he's really only a five inning, maybe six inning type starter. He's one of those guys who's never really going to see the seventh inning, never really going to, put the team on its back and carry the load for an entire game, throw a complete game.
Yeah, and that
It's
just hurts
just
our
not going to
depth
happen.
more.
But if
That's
Cutter
more of.
Crawford is your fourth starter, even, if he's your fifth starter, you have a great rotation. If he's your fourth
Yes.
starter, you also have a pretty good rotation. But the problem comes in to that Giolito injury. It's completely messed things up because it's also taking us out of the running. For Montgomery, that pipe dream's over. But rewind about 2 weeks, you look at a rotation of Bayo, Pivetta, Crawford, Giolito, Montgomery, and you move Hauk and Whitlock back to the bullpen. That, in my opinion, is a playoff team. That's how close we were. And if you really wanted to, you could salvage this by signing someone like Lorenzen and Montgomery. You could salvage this season. It would take a lot of financial commitment, so it's obviously not going to happen.
They're
But
not getting
that's how
Montgomery.
close this team is to being a playoff caliber team, because we said the lineup's going to be good. The defense is a lot better. And this whole pitching staff, if you shift the guys who you're forcing into the rotation back into the bullpen, that creates one of the best bullpens in baseball.
Yeah.
But we can't do it.
Yep. And that's why what you're saying about, having a pen with Crawford as the or having a rotation with Crawford as the five is a good rotation, even as the four is a good rotation. But the thing is, when he's at the four and he's coming in on the fourth day of the rotation and giving you five innings, you got to start eating relievers. And then if you're going to be putting in Criswell on the fifth game in that fifth cycle, he's only going four, maybe five, and then you're short relievers again. We're short depth. We really needed starting pitching, and they've ruined it because now we. If we get in these situations where we're getting hammered and we need to start digging into the bullpen, we have nothing. There's nothing there.
Yeah, that's more of what I meant about Cutter Crawford is, yeah, he's a great pitcher. I think he's a very underrated pitcher, but he is a 5-inning guy back of the rotation. Like you said, great in the four spot. Right now, what is he, number two? Depending on where you put Pivetta, maybe number three? That doesn't really add up as well. I feel like we're in the same spot we were last season. Last season, we were begging for starting pitching. We didn't know who was. We had last year, I remember points where we had two starters, and the other three we had to fill with random guys from Double A. Bullpen games, the Bernardino starting opening thing. I don't want to do that again. I want depth. They talked this whole offseason about how starting pitching and pitching depth overall is a key focus area. Where is it? There is no depth once again. Yeah, the Giolito injury really kind of screwed you over, but that's just one player. If you're that affected by losing one player, then you don't have depth. So I think A trade is what needs to happen. There's no really real answer in the free agent market. They're not getting Jordan Montgomery. Mike Clevenger, Michael Lorenzen. That's cool. I think they need a trade for depth because you don't need just one guy. I think you need multiple guys, especially if Chris Murphy's down. You have no depth for that rotation. But not just that. If you, like you guys were talking about, say a pitcher comes in, starting pitcher goes 4 innings, then what? You're going to use your whole entire bullpen after that? You need a long inning guy. A guy who can eat innings. They don't have those anywhere up and down the roster right now, at least not any that are ready.
Well, the thing
So
is,
I
we
think,
would
oh, we absolutely
if
could
we
have.
had
We absolutely would
Whitlock
have.
and we had Houck in the bullpen where they should be.
Yeah, they're talking about Winkowski being the long inning guy. I don't think that's the spot where he's best. Last year, he was good as a high leverage guy, and when you tried to put him 2 innings, started to fall apart. I don't like where this rotation and this pitching staff is kind of looking to be. Like, I think the bullpen can be really good, but again, as you guys said, if you start stretching out the bullpen, making them throw more innings than they should, the bullpen gets worse. That's exactly what happened last year to a T. I don't want to relive last year. Last year was bad. Finished in last place. It was awful. That's what we're looking to be. I talked about how great the offense is looking. Offense was great last year. Top five offense in the league. This is looking to be a repeat of last year, except you don't even have the ability to look forward to Chris Sale's coming back at some point. That's gone now. This is your rotation. There's no one coming to help. Giolito, he is out for the season. UCL surgery. Out. He's not coming back. The only thing that you can maybe look forward to that's similar to the Chris Sale thing is you have Liam Hendricks coming back in August. That's not going to help your starting rotation. And while we're on the topic of pitching, I want to bring up Kenley Jansen. I don't even think that. I'm concerned about him. I don't even think he's going to be ready for opening day. He keeps getting scratched because of back problems. He's old. He is not in peak physical condition anymore. He is having trouble being out in the field, being ready, and the games he's pitched, he's been awful. So that's the guy who's supposed to be your closer. If he's injured, if he's bad, then what? Houck was supposed to be the next guy up for the closer spot, but he's in the rotation right now. Who's going to be your closer? Whitlock, also in the rotation right now. This is a
Chris
mess.
Martin.
Great. Chris Martin's your closer. Stud closer. Who's your setup? There's no setup then. It is a mess. And there's no solution that appears close to happening. Like, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? This is my biggest concern for the season, without a doubt. And this is enough to take us from a maybe a wild card sneaky contender to not even making the playoffs, another last place finish. This is the problem. This was the problem last
Yep.
year. Maybe the defense will be better than last year. It probably will. That's cool. But you still have no pitching. You need pitching. You need a rotation with starters. They don't have that.
They
And I
also
don't know what to
said
do.
that they were going to trade Kenley, and now we
No one
just
wanted
kept
him.
him. Oh, it's
No
gone
one
now.
wanted him.
No one's
Gee, I
going to want
wonder
Kenley
why.
anymore.
So he's also not even motivated. He's like, they tried to get rid of me. They promised me a competitive team. Why am I even pitching for this team?
Yeah,
He's
now he's
maybe
going to
he's not
pitch
even
for
hurt.
us.
Maybe he's faking injury. Oh, my
This could
back
be the end
again.
of
I
his
can't go out
career.
there. Oh, if I were him, I'd retire right now. I don't
This
want
could
to
be
pitch
his
for this
career. Just
team.
retire right now.
He should. Wow. So we
This.
started off pretty positive, and now I'm feeling very pessimistic here.
This
Yeah.
took a turn.
But that's the dynamic of this team. The offense is great. We're gonna mash. It's gonna be fun. And then the pitching is just so frustrating because
We
we're
should
so
do.
close.
We
And
should like
it.
alternate weeks. One week we talk about the hitting and the offense, and then the next week we talk about pitching. We'll go good podcast, bad podcast,
You
back
know
and
what I'm
forth.
gonna
We should
do?
just make a
The way
second podcast.
the Red Sox dugout and the Red Sox bullpen. In the bullpen, in the dugout.
Exactly, yeah.
No way, that could work.
That's funny. But what I'm gonna do, what my grandpa used to do is he would like record the games and he would fast forward through the pitching and just watch the hitting. That's what I'm gonna have to do this year.
Actually, not a bad idea.
If I watch just the offense, I'm gonna think we're the best team in the league.
We'd have fun. I'd have fun watching baseball.
Yeah, I'll watch the offense. I'll be like, why are we sub 500? This offense is mashing.
This team should be a World Series favorite.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough.
All right. Well, if we're still on pitchers, I mean, what is the damage? You guys have been seeing these videos online from Bauer's live sessions. Like, what is the damage? If these numbers are correct, he's actually sitting 96 to 98. Like, there's zero risk you can take here.
It's like how Jordan Montgomery was a perfect fit for the Red Sox and then it didn't work out.
Oh,
Right
yeah, I forgot
now,
about
Trevor
that.
Bauer is a perfect fit for the Red Sox. So obviously we're not going to sign him. Like, it is a guy who's looking to get his career back on track, get back in the big leagues. And the Red Sox are a team desperate for pitching who have nothing to lose.
And
It's a
from what
perfect
we've been
match.
seeing, he looks like he's in prime condition.
Yeah. And all he's going to cost is like a $20 Amazon gift card and a Papa Gino's pizza. Get him over here.
Ooh.
It's tough.
That's a combo.
We got CJ Cron, though. We got plenty of power hitting bench guys. Bobby Dalbec, CJ Cron. That's a fun competition in spring training right now. Can he pitch? No.
Think that
Bob
might have
can
killed
pitch. He was a
Bobby's
pitcher in
chances.
college. That would be the most Bobby Dalbec thing is if he's just still trying to get back in the big leagues and they're like now pitching for the Red Sox, Bobby Dalbec, and he's just trying to revive his career once again on the
Well,
mound.
the Rays tried to trade for him. I think it was early last season. They tried to trade for him and make him a pitcher.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love if the Red Sox go to Bobby Dalbec and like, dude, we need pitching. Can you get out there? Can you throw a bullpen for us? That would be peak if Bobby Dalbec emerges as a pitcher. That'd be
We
fantastic.
could, like, that's the thing. We could get to that point this year, though.
Oh,
Like,
we are
there could be a
100% going to get to
chance
that
that
point.
might happen.
Like, that is probably going to be a serious conversation during the season because you know what's going to happen. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to be bad. And we're going to be desperate. And we're going to be like, Bobby Dalbec. There's no
Shohei
other
Dalbec.
solution. Shohei Dalbec.
I'm all for it. Why not?
We got nothing to lose.
It makes
Nothing.
it fun.
We really don't. It would probably get the fans more involved too if we see Bob on the mound.
Oh, I would be locked in.
Imagine Fenway on Bob's start days.
He'd get a standing ovation every time. It'd be game seven of the World Series.
Bobby bump days, yes.
I remember. I have this video on my phone. I think it's from the when we play the Yankees in the wild card game. It's just a Bob chant. They're like, Bobby, Bobby. No one else gets a chant. It's just Bobby Dalbec. I'd love to see me some Bobby Dalbec this season, however it happens. I guess we could actually talk about that. Do we think that Bobby Dalbec's going to make the team? Because CJ Cron's here, and is he good? Not really, but he is experienced. He's a veteran guy who's been good in the past.
I
See, he's
have a prediction.
betting 182 this
I
spring
have a
training and
prediction as a Red
11 at
Sox
bats.
fan
Sorry, yep.
who's watched the Red Sox for a very long time. I think that Bobby is not going to make the starting day, opening day roster. But CJ Cron is 90 years old. So I think by April, Bobby will be in the majors.
That's a fair point. We're on the whole theme of depth. You want to have guys in the minors who can come up when someone gets hurt. So
Exactly.
keep everyone around. Man, I'm so like down now. I'm like so negative. I started out this podcast like I love the Red Sox. This is great.
We were on
Everything's
a high note.
fantastic. And now it's like, oh, here we go again.
Soon as pitching gets brought up.
Well, if you want to watch this team regardless whether they're good or bad, then SeatGeek is the place for you. SeatGeek is my favorite place to buy tickets because not only do they have fantastic deals, but they also provide you with tools to make sure you're getting great tickets. They give you a grade for each ticket price so you can be confident you're getting the best value possible. They show you the view from your seat so you know what you're getting ahead of time. And you get the tickets right on your phone, making it all easy. Who doesn't like things that are easy? With their wide selection of sports, concerts, shows, and more, SeatGeek knocks it out of the park when it comes to buying tickets. Plus, you can get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek by using the promo code Dugout.
DUG, OUT, dugout. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to find Chris Cotillo's newest roster projection because he said some interesting things. I know that Ref Snyder is going to be starting the season on the IL, which locks in
Didn't know that.
Rafaela, basically. Yeah, I
Did
didn't
not
even
know
know he
that.
was hurt. I haven't seen Ref Snyder like all spring. I
Yeah.
can't lie.
Another guy that's
But
hurt that I feel like we should mention, Vaughn Grissom is not going to be ready for opening day. The guy that we traded or got back in the trade for Chris Sale. So not only are we negative one pitcher in terms of offseason acquisitions, negative two players, add one on there, I guess. So you don't have your starting second baseman. It's fun. He'll be
Yeah.
back at some point though. As long as he doesn't pull a Mondesi and just never plays for us, I think we're in the right direction.
Here's a
So
fun one.
who are we going to bring in behind? Is it going to be Reyes
Think it's
again?
gonna be
Pablo Reyes.
Valdez.
Oh, really? I
He
guess.
well, Valdez is playing every day, so I'm assuming he Cora is giving him as much of a chance to prove it as he can.
Can Bobby Dalbec play second base?
They've tried it
We
with
can
him. I
trade
know
him.
that.
Yeah.
I think it would be interesting to see Nick York. I know he's not going to make it, and I know that they don't want to start the clock on him, but I
Yeah.
would love to see Nick York at some point because, if they haven't traded him, he's getting to the point now where he's been in the system for quite a while. You've got to start.
I think he's big league ready. I think this season we'll see him at some point for sure.
I agree. I think they're going to give him a long leash down in the minors before calling him up. But oh, actually, I wanted to talk about the prospect game. You guys watch the prospect game?
I did not, but I should have.
I didn't.
I meant
That was
to.
very fun. I enjoyed that. Great idea by MLB to do it. It was cool to see a lineup of Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Nick York, Blaze Jordan, all and Kyle Teal all back to back to back to back to back. It was awesome. I thought that whole concept was great. I thought it was weird that Rafaela played in it because he's been with the big league team all year. They were
Yeah.
all saying, like, why is he still here? But I think that concept was great, and it was really cool to see them all on the field together, and that's something that gives me hope. But once again, the contrast, they're all position players. They're studs. Those guys are studs, but
Yeah.
they're all position players.
Yep. Just we keep
Yep.
coming back to the same problem here. I feel like this has been a problem for like my whole life at this point, it feels like, but the past several years, it's just been pitching. It's never, I can't think of a time where the offense has been the problem since 2017 after David Ortiz left and we just didn't hit home runs. But then you got JD Martinez and that was fixed and it's been good. It's just pitching. Pitching is the problem. And you know what a World Series team has? Pitching.
All right, I found a new roster projection by Ian Brown, Downtown Ian Brown. So he is projecting Valdez to be the opening day second baseman. And then outfielders, Yoshida, Duran, O'Neill, Abreu, Rafaela.
Realistically,
The
I
two bench
think.
guys, here's something interesting. It's Pablo Reyes and CJ Crone instead of Bobby Dalbec.
Well, I think that's
Huh.
like Will said, like CJ Cron could
Yeah.
start out and then he like falls
They
apart and have
I think
nothing.
he's
They
gonna
have
fall
nothing
apart really
to.
fast or get hurt very soon.
And they don't owe him anything.
Yeah.
It's a minor league deal, so they can cut ties so easy. It doesn't hurt them
Now
whatsoever.
imagine if you had those, but pitchers. If you signed minor league deals for pitchers and you had that kind, like, I don't think first base is really the spot that we need an option at. Casas is the guy there. Pablo Reyes is learning first base for some reason. You got Bobby Dalbec. So sure, welcome to the team, CJ Cron, whatever. But it'd be great if you had that kind of depth and tryouts at pitching. If you had some starting pitchers. I'm gonna keep saying this because that's what we need. We need pitching. Like I.
Does Crone have any sort of arm?
He definitely he has two arms, actually.
Well, no, like a good one.
Probably not.
That
All
guy
right, because
cannot
I
move.
was gonna say he could potentially be like a bench guy for a Devers rest day, but no.
Nah, CJ
No.
Crone, I saw him run out a ground ball the other day. He is cooked. Oh
He
my God. Is
can't throw a
he?
beach ball across a pool. Like there's no shot.
No. Oh man,
I haven't
it
seen him
kind of
play in
hurt
spring
to
training yet,
watch.
so I haven't gotten any sort
He
of
is there to
clue
hit.
in on him.
That is it.
I saw CJ Crone running down the line to first base, and I couldn't hear it, but I know he was definitely going One more interesting thing from this roster projection is that Joely Rodriguez is gonna make the opening day roster.
Honestly, I see that. You need a lefty, a second lefty. He closed out the game today.
I did see. I forgot
Whose
that
spot
one
is
he
he taking?
existed.
That's a good question.
I'm
Probably Chris
because that
Murphy's.
concerns me.
Give me one second. I'll get back
No,
to you on
probably Chris
that.
Murphy's, because Chris Murphy was going to be your
Oh,
other
Murphy's on the
lefty in the
IL.
bullpen. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Murph. That sucks, but he also
Who does
wait.
he have as the backup catcher? Because I was seeing some stuff about whether it's going to be Perez or McGuire.
So he has Maguire.
Give me
Oh yeah,
Perez.
it was Murphy's
I'd
spot.
take Roberto Perez, personally.
Yeah, I don't mind
Over
it.
McGuire,
Extra
definitely.
defense.
Yeah.
I value the defense more because Reese McGuire is a liability when there are runners on base. I don't know if I've ever seen him throw out a runner.
Or when he is a runner on base, too. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I mean, I
That's the
do
thing with a
love when he
catcher, you're.
strokes it into left field for a single, but I would probably sacrifice a little bit of, I would sacrifice a little offense for some sound defense behind the plate,
Oh, for sure.
especially
I
if
mean, with a
Roberto
catcher,
Perez
you're
is a vet.
looking way much on defense anyway, because, I mean, how many catchers in the league are guys that just get up there and mash? Like
Only the
five?
elite. Only the elite.
Only the elite. We don't have
Yeah.
elite catchers. So we just need
Plus,
defense.
people sleep on Connor Wong. I think he's going to be the overwhelming starter for sure. So you don't need nothing special back there as
Oh,
the backup.
absolutely.
Yeah, I think a
Yeah. I
veteran
mean,
guy who can play defense, Roberto Perez, sign me up. That's all you need.
remember when McGuire got hurt last year and we had like that Hamilton guy up
Caleb Hamilton.
he caught for like 35 days in a row.
Yeah. Wong, just every day. Just
Dog.
back out there. Back out there. Go.
It doesn't, the whole catching situation doesn't matter to me because Wong is going to start and eventually I think we're going to see Kyle Teal this year. So
This
that's
year.
more towards
Ooh.
the end of the
There's
season,
a
but
chance. Yeah,
yeah, when the Red Sox are like 60 and 93 or whatever, that doesn't even add up right, does it? Sure. Yeah. And they have nothing to
there
lose.
would be
Kyle
9
Teal.
games left.
Yeah, that's perfect then. Look at that. It's exactly what I was aiming for.
Wait, then
That's when you'll see
you added
Kyle
the math
Teal,
right.
probably. So.
What on earth? Joely Rodriguez only pitched 11 innings last year? Dang.
Yeah. Because he came back and then got hurt again.
Yeah, well, he also stunk.
He's not good. Like he's gonna start on the opening day roster, probably, sure, but he'll be off of it by May. So,
I mean, he's a good K per nine guy.
yeah, but he'll just walk everybody else.
Yeah. Well,
Does he even throw a
yeah.
fastball? I'm pretty sure he just throws changeups. That's it. Just change up, change up, change up.
That would really surprise me if Joely Rodriguez made the opening day roster, but it's literally because they have no other lefties besides the Lucas L Loogie guy, Haka
During this
Loogie.
conversation, two things have come up. The catching position and lefties in the bullpen. And once again, lack of depth. Lack of depth is the problem across the board. It's crazy. That was a problem last. It's I don't understand how, as a front office, as a team, you can experience everything that happened last year, notice these problems, bring in a new chief baseball officer, be focused on fixing the problems of last year, filling the gaps, and then have the exact same problem as last year. Lack of depth in the rotation, lack of depth of lefties in the bullpen. At least they fixed the catching depth. That's great. But depth, 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 depth. You look at all the good teams out there. Dodgers, great depth. Braves, great depth. No depth. No depth in Boston. It's the title of this episode. No depth. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, the contrast of how this episode started and ended is wild.
How
Kind of
can we end
sounds
like the
on a
Red
positive
Sox?
note. True. That's probably how this
Oh,
year is
wait,
going to go.
we
We're like,
talked
oh,
about
this is great. Durant is getting triples on a base hit, and Devers is hitting bombs. Kostas is good. And then all of our positivity and optimism will quickly fade away when we have some dude from Springfield, Massachusetts, who was pitching in a college game yesterday as the starter against the Yankees.
All right, let's bring it to a more positive and vaguely baseball related point. What do you guys feel about the blonde hair on Duran?
Love it.
Yeah, it
Love it.
fits. It
I
fits
love
him.
it. It
It is
fits him
awesome.
very well. It
Yeah.
is,
it looks sweet out the back of the hat.
This is the year of Jarren Duran, let me tell you.
I'm just praying he
He's
stays
coming in with a
healthy.
vengeance.
He sure is. If I've been saying that if you have speed, you're going to be good, like, no matter what, pretty much. That's not true, like, at all. But in Jarren Duran's case, it is. I kind of started that
Yeah, so
sentence,
that
didn't know where I was
there, I
going with it.
lied.
My point is that Jarren Duran is really
Yeah,
fast, and that's going to help him be really good. So there's my analysis on that.
I
Yeah.
got one more thing to complain about.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Opening day at 10 p.m.
Oh, I saw that.
What is this?
I didn't even know that.
Opening
Yeah.
day? Yeah, we're in Seattle,
We're the
10
only
p.m. on
night
opening
game.
day.
Why?
I thought they do
Why?
them all at
Why?
the same time.
No, they like to have like a night game so that people watch all day, but
This is absurd.
that's
Yeah,
usually like
why would you put
two
an
West
East Coast
the night game
team?
on
Yeah.
opening day should be between two West Coast teams, not between a West Coast team and an East Coast team. Why do I have to wait while all the other teams are playing at like noon? I have to wait 10 more
10
hours to watch
p.m.,
opening day.
3 days
But the
straight.
good thing is,
Opening day.
if it goes
What is it?
poorly, we can just like, I'm just
Go to
gonna,
bed. Yeah.
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 If you mean when?
Hey, you never know, dude.
Yeah.
I thought we were going optimistic with this podcast.
This is terrible. This
At
is,
least
when
we'll
was
have
it?
one of the
Was
good
it
pitchers pitching.
2019 when we started off on the West Coast trip?
Yeah.
This is the
Yep.
same thing. Why
Yeah.
do they do this to us? 10 p.m.,
But I'm
10 p.m.,
pretty sure
10 p.m., 4 p.m.
opening day, it was like a day game on the West Coast. So it was at like 7:30.
We don't get a normal like 7 p.m. night game until 10 days into the season.
That's ridiculous.
We also have the latest home opener of any team in baseball.
Also, they said this on the broadcast yesterday. We don't play the Yankees for the first time until June 14th.
Yeah.
What is this schedule?
It's just very backloaded Yankees all AL East like second half of the season.
Yeah, we play the Yankees for two series in July. It feels like we play Baltimore every other week. This is
Yeah.
crazy.
Jeez.
This is terrible. Who makes this?
Idiots.
I think they
Idiots.
just, if they're doing it like NFL, I think they just have friggin' AI do it.
Well, the AI sucks. The AI I use to do my school assignments works way better than
Dude, it
whoever made
works
this
all the
schedule.
time.
Even, you know how when you do like MLB The Show, like whatever, franchise road to the show, and they make like the fake schedule for like, that's better than this schedule. The MLB The Show fakes,
Easily.
whatever MLB The Show is doing to make schedules, use that because that works great.
It's like, all right, let's play three straight in Boston. And then tomorrow we got a 1 p.m. game in LA. Let's
Literally.
get to it.
That's probably on here somewhere. It's ridiculous. Anyways, on that note,
Are we doing season predictions next week?
sure.
That's kind
Are
of
we doing
crazy.
a
Couple days next
pod
week.
next week
Yeah,
or
sure, let's do that. We're deciding this is live scheduling. We're gonna switch back to every week now. Now that baseball is about to start, we'll do a predictions episode for the season next week, and then we're going. Opening day is what, a week from Thursday or Friday? What is it,
Yep.
Thursday? Week from Thursday is opening day. We'll be back to every week for episodes, season predictions next week, bold predictions next week. So get your bold hats on. But until then,
A lot of
I'm
candidates
coming
for
with a
the bold
Pablo
hat.
Sandoval Award this year. A lot of candidates.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an interesting one. So stay tuned
Stay
for
tuned.
that. Stay tuned. But until then, enjoy the last bit of spring training here until we talk to you again. See you next time on the In the Dugout podcast. See you next time.